So we want to look tonight in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And we just want to share a few thoughts with you tonight. We want to read one verse. It's a familiar verse to many of us. And then we're going to make a few comments tonight about this chapter, which kind of led up to this verse, the things that was happening. But let's read Luke 18, verse 27. And the Bible says, "And he said, these things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Lord, we do lift up these requests that were mentioned today, our prayer list, and those that were added this evening. Lord, we just pray that you'll help them and strengthen them. Lord, our desire is always that they feel your presence when we go through these storms and these trials in our lives, that we just feel your presence and we have that peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we do pray if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as our personal Savior, Lord, will you touch that heart and cause them to realize the only hope that they have is Jesus. And Father, we do pray for those that maybe have some unspoken prayer requests that, Lord, that you'll meet those needs. And Lord, we just love you tonight. We thank you for all that you do for us. And we ask for your help tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Possible with God. That's our title taken from this verse this evening. And if you don't get anything else tonight, I want you to get this statement. It's important to notice that it was the Lord Jesus himself who spoke about the possibility of impossible things becoming possible. Jesus himself spoke about the possibility of impossible things becoming possible. The whole Bible is a commentary to these words. From beginning to end, we see things that as we look upon them as being impossible, we see how God made it possible. We here tonight, if we were relying on ourselves, it would be impossible. But because of the grace of God, it is possible that we're here because of what he's done for us in our lives. God is all-knowing. God is all-wise. God is all-loving. God is all-powerful because God is God. Men are always limited. Men have good intentions. Men have good thoughts. Men have good ideas. But men are limited when it comes to the impossible. We look at ourselves and we see what God has done. We heard a song just a few moments ago about what God has done. And the fact is, it was God that did it. And if we ever try to take credit for what God is doing, we are heading in the wrong direction. Because it's God who does and will do and continues to do in our lives. And so tonight, I want us to think about some things that God can do even though we think sometimes they're impossible. First thing I want to make mention tonight is this. It is possible for God to answer prayer. It is possible for God to answer prayer. Prayer is talked about several times in the Bible. It talks about praying without ceasing. It talks about casting our care on him who cares for us. And we know those verses and we apply those verses. But in Luke chapter 18, there is a parable that is made mention beginning with verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So the challenge for them was to pray. We spend time in prayer here. I trust that you spend time in prayer at home, and in your quiet time and going down the road and when, something arises in your mind, that you need to pray about. I trust that that's what we do. But the challenge here, there's a parable that makes mention that we should pray and not to faint. And he goes on to say, and saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city, and she was said unto him, or came unto him, and said, avenge of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this woman troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her she weary me. In other words, her continual coming to him, it was weary, making this this person weary, and so therefore her prayers were answered. Now, that's not to say God is weary, but that is the parable to say, don't quit. Don't quit. You know, there's times that we pray, and I think I mentioned this recently, but there's times that we pray that sometimes we wonder if our prayers are reaching heaven or reaching to the ceiling. But let me tell you, keep praying. Keep praying. You know, prayer is not about feeling. You know, because sometimes we may not feel things, but prayer is about trusting. Prayer is about faith. Prayer is about continuing, to continue to pray. And that's what this woman, this widow woman did. She continued to request. She continued to come to this one. And her request was granted. This widow woman who prevailed, because she didn't give up. She didn't give up. He makes possible things which to man are quite impossible. I could give you on a number of occasions in my life that I've prayed and I've wondered and I've prayed and I've requested. And sometimes it would seem like my prayers weren't getting answered. But before you knew it, God answered prayer. There's people that we've prayed for. There's individuals that we've prayed for salvation, and they've come to know Jesus. There's individuals that you pray for peace, and you pray for times in their life that they're struggling and they're having difficulties. And time after time after time, God answers those prayers. It's possible for God to answer prayer. And I'll give you another reason that I believe it is possible for God to answer prayer is because the Bible tells us to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Continuing in prayer. I believe that if it was impossible for God to answer prayer, He wouldn't tell us to pray. So we need to pray. And how that God will answer our prayers. Now, the problem sometimes that we have is the fact that He may not answer them the way that we pray them. That's why we should always pray in His will. Praying for His will. Praying for His guidance. Because there's been things that I've prayed for that I've prayed earnestly, and I've been on my knees and I've prayed for certain things, and God didn't answer them the way that I prayed them. But He still answered, and I look back now on the things that I prayed for, and I'm glad that He didn't answer them the way that I thought they needed to be. Because He knows far better. He knows what we're in need of, and He knows what we need. So therefore, the important thing is that we pray. And I believe that's what the Bible's teaching us here in this parable, and teaching those that were there and that was listening, is continuing in prayer, continuing in prayer. The next thing I think that is possible is it's possible for God to save the very worst of sinners. It's possible for God to save the very worst of sinners. We continue in this chapter here in Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 9, and the Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." So here's the parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess." But notice the contrast here in this parable. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto the heaven, but smote unto him his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." If you notice, there were fewer words. There were fewer words that this publican spoke. He didn't say anything about how good he was. He didn't say anything about, his achievements or his accomplishments. And he didn't say anything. You know, he didn't dress up his prayer, if you will. He was just earnest. And he stood afar off. Wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, saying, "God, have mercy, for I'm a sinner." You know, I believe that it's God that can save the very worst of sinners. It's God that can change a life. The publican who acknowledged himself to be a great sinner. He didn't compare himself to others. You know, it would be easy maybe to compare ourselves to someone else and say, well, you know, at least I'm not doing this in my life, or at least I'm not doing that. Or we compare ourselves saying that, you know, I'm not as bad as my neighbor is, when in fact we're all sinners. We're everyone sinners. We everyone need to be saved. And it's not about the things and the wrong choices that we've made in life that makes us sinners, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And therefore, if we really stood before God, none of us would be justified unless we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And I'm thankful tonight that, as the song goes, when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. Not what I've done, not what I've tried to accomplish, because everything that man tries to accomplish is pretty feeble when it comes to God. But this Pharisee and this, he stood and he prayed, and, you know, he started bragging about what he's done, and started bragging about the fact that he fasted, and he was bragging about that he wasn't as someone else is, when in reality, if he really saw himself as he was, he would be just as guilty as this publican. Just as guilty as this publican. We might sometimes think that God would not save someone, maybe because of their attitude, maybe because of the things that they've done. But yet God, when he gets a hold of their heart, when he gets a hold of that heart and the Holy Spirit speaks to that person, he can change a life. You that are here tonight that know Christ as your personal Savior, you can testify that God got a hold of your heart one day. One day, one night. You know, I know a gentleman that's in heaven now, and he was telling me his testimony one time, and he was telling me, he said, "I was by myself." And he said, "I was driving down the road," and he said, "the conviction got great." And he said, he was telling me, He said, you know, he said, I knew that if I drove another mile and I was in an accident or God took my life, he said, I'd be in hell. And he pulled off to the side of the road and he bowed his head and he asked Jesus Christ to save him. You see, I'm one day going to get to see him again because of that decision and because of the grace of God. You see, that's when God gets a hold. That's when God makes the impossible possible. You know, when we look at an individual and when we see maybe the life they've lived or the life they're living, and we think, oh my goodness, how in the world? God can do it. We just need to pray for them. And we need to pray that their attitude would be softened and that God would get a hold of them and cause them to see their need to be saved. Number three tonight, it is possible for God to make himself known to children. It actually says that in the Bible. In verse 15 it says, and they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But notice what Jesus said. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about this passage, and I was thinking about how important it is for us to reach children. How important it is for us to reach children. A child, a mind is a little more tender than it is as an adult. God can save a child just as he can an adult. Many of you got saved when you're young. I was saved when I was 15. Some of you might have got saved younger. Some of you might have been older. But the important thing is that he saved. And maybe, in a sense, it's a little easier for a child to believe than an adult to believe. I'll give you an example. As a child grows, then the child learns to trust their mother and their father. And as a child begins to learn, and a child begins to grow, and if a child would jump in the arms of a father, then that father is going to do everything that he can to catch that child. No doubt is in that child's mind. A child can stand on the arm of a couch, and a child can say, catch me, daddy. And the daddy's going to do everything that he can to catch that child. That's what children do when it comes to their relationship with the Lord. Just giving their heart to the Lord. When a child becomes a little bigger and the child begins to look down, and maybe it's starting to get a little scared of heights, then it's going to look down and it's going to look at their size versus the father's size. And the child says, well, I'm not sure he can catch me now. And a father might even say, no, no. Well, I promise you tonight, God will never say no. God will never say no. God will catch for someone that gives their life to the Lord. It's possible for God himself to make himself known to little children. Number five, it is possible for God to deliver from the cares of this world. Maybe I should say the allurements of this world. Verse 18, and a certain rich man asked him, saying, good master, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said, Yet thou lackest one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Now, it doesn't end there, and we know the Bible says when he heard this, he went very sorrowful or went away very sorrowful, for he was very rich. But Jesus continues on with that. And the Bible says in verse 24, And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle's eye than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So our point here tonight is this. It is possible for God to deliver from the allurements of the world. It is possible, but yet for the individual, it's hard because they're trusting in the riches. Everything with this passage and everything with this individual was dealing with them, was dealing with what they could do. It was dealing with what they did. It was dealing with themselves. And when the Lord said, sell everything and give away everything and do all that and come and follow him, then it was hard for that individual because that individual was relying on what they do. But the point is tonight that it's possible if we trust him. It's possible for God to deliver the allurements of the world because God gave the opportunity. God gave the opportunity for this one to come to him, but yet the one chose to do the latter. Chose to do the latter, and that's why it says here, For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You see, people relying on themselves, people rely on what they can do, when in reality, we need to set everything that we can do aside and simply trust God. Trust him. That's what you did when you accepted Christ. You said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my life and save me. It didn't have anything to do with what you accomplished in life or what you felt like you were going to accomplish in life, but it had everything to do with him and you received him by faith. Not on what you can do, but simply by faith. Another one we have tonight is this. It is possible for God to compensate sacrifices when we may be called upon to make them. Verse 28 says, And Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. So Peter's saying that. We've left everything and we followed thee. Verse 29 says, And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there's not one man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake. Notice what verse 30 says, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Many have given up everything. I think of many missionaries and many individuals have given up everything for the cause of Christ. I believe in verse 30 tells us what the outcome is going to be. You see, it is possible for God to compensate any sacrifice that is made for his glory, for his cause, for him. And God would grant and he will bless manifold more in this present time and in the world to come. You see, we've got a lot to be thankful for tonight. When we think things are impossible, God makes them possible. It is possible for God to fulfill every promise that He's ever made. Verse 31 and following says, "Then He took unto the 12 and said unto him, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. And He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, spitefully entreated and spit on, and they shall scourge Him and put Him to death, and the third day He shall rise again." And I say tonight, thank God for His promises. Thank God for His promises. Jesus was tried. Jesus was mocked. Jesus was scourged. Jesus was killed. But thank God He rose again based on His promise. He fulfilled the promise He made. With men, it is impossible. There's going to be times that men makes a promise that for various reasons, for various situations, they're going to fall short. But with God, He's going to make every promise real. And we can see that through the Scriptures. Every promise that He said was going to be fulfilled has been fulfilled. And wait till the ones to come. You see, we've got something to look forward to. There's some promises that's going to take place as the children and of God, and we're going to experience it. Brother Jim's already made mention. We're going to experience it. And just like Marshall used to say when he was a little boy, when he was trying to get me to do something, he'd say, "Daddy, a promise is a promise." And we can rest assured tonight, when God promises, it's going to happen. We may not know when, we may not know the time period, but a promise is a promise. And then lastly tonight, it is possible for God to perform the greatest of miracles. It is possible for God to perform the greatest of miracles. Verse 35 and following, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as He was come nigh unto Jerusalem, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before and rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come nigh, he asked him, saying, what wilt that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight by faith. Thy faith hath saved thee. The Bible says in verse 43, and immediately he received his sight, and notice the change that took place in his life, and he followed him, glorifying God. And all people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. He's still a performer of miracles. We're here tonight because of a miracle. We're saved tonight because of a miracle. We have a lot to be thankful for. He was completely blind, and now he sees. And I say tonight, possible with God. He approached him by faith. He cried out, and God delivered him. I don't know what struggles you're having tonight, or what difficulties you might be having, or anything like that. God knows. But I challenge you tonight to trust Him. Keep praying. Keep serving. Keep loving. because it's possible with God. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, we thank you for the good day that you've blessed us with. And Lord, many times we have things in our life that we just wonder about and we're concerned about. Help us just to give them to you. You know what's best. Father, if there's someone here that needs to come and pray and talk to you, Lord, I pray that they'll do that. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Many times we ask more than we praise. So, Lord, we just want to praise you for all that you do, for all that you're doing, for all that you're going to do. Even the things that we fail to make mention, we know that you did them. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll just help us tonight. Bless this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.